This is Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live, Discovery Paranormal, and the Daily Update with Michael Angley. For the best news and commentary, tune in to Michael Angley Live every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. For the best paranormal talk in town, tune in to Discovery Paranormal every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And check out UPRN, United Public Radio Network, every day for the Daily Update with Michael Angley. All on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.7 New Orleans.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m.
See you Thursdays, everyone.
Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio. You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Montaldo on Wednesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover. Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest-running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fee.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016.
Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
Oh, All right, live Discovery Paranormal, Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. On tonight's show, we have Wendy Adams, an amazing medium who has her own show, also called The Wendy Adams Show, on lightwavesradio.com. You can catch that. Wendy, say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone.
See? I was kidding, she's there. All right, so tell us about Lightwaves Radio. We'll start off there. I have a thousand questions to ask. So tell us about Lightwaves Radio, first and foremost. You do three shows, right?
Well, I actually just added a fourth one today, so four shows now currently.
All right,
I do the Wendy Adams Show, like you mentioned. Yeah, I do a show called Inner Circle, which is our signature show. We started off with that in 2012. And then I'm also on Nightwaves, and that's one of my favorite ones because it's a music show. And then the newest one is Circling Infinity.
Circling Infinity.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about these shows. What happens on the Wendy Adams Show? If I tune in to the Wendy Adams Show, what am I going to hear on any given day?
Normally you're going to hear my experiences. I'll occasionally have guests come on that, guest co-hosts on that one. Inner Circles, where we'll usually have a variety of different guests on. People will come on talking about their books regarding spiritual things or whatever it is that their book is about. The Nightwaves one is 80s rock and music, metal, and Circling Infinity is a really deep show, highly metaphysical.
Nice. And then they can tune in, they can just go to lightwavesradio.com, the website, and all these shows will be listed in their times.
If I get to it, I'm terrible. it's supposed to be that way now.
Because not everybody's psychic. You know, some of us need to use a dial and say, hey, man, what's going on? You know what I mean?
It's crazy. I'm so disorganized. Like, I'm the first to admit it. And all my co-hosts always try to organize me, but, like, it's just not going to happen, guys. Like, it won't. So it's usually supposed to be under the program schedule, but it just depends on my mood, I guess.
Moody. I've been there. You know what? So you have two co-hosts, right, on the one show. Well, let's list your co-hosts so they don't feel left out.
Michelle Marr, and she should be listening, so I got to say hello to her. Kendra
Jonas.
Hi,
Michelle Marr.
Yeah, Kendra Jonas.
Kendra Jonas.
Yeah, and her husband, Reiner Jonas.
Reiner. Reiner Jonas, good.
And Rob Freeman.
Rob Freeman.
Yeah?
That's a good name. That's a good name for radio, Rob Freeman. I was going to make my name Max Power. How's that sound? You know, like, it's going to be paranormal with Max Power. You know what I mean? Except the P word messes me up. I spit when I say the P word. Power. I had to change it. But Michael Angley sounds better anyway. So, you're a medium. I ask everyone who comes on the show the same question, first and foremost. Tell us about your first paranormal experience.
Yeah. The very first one, actually, believe it or not, I was 1.5 years old.
Wow, 1.5 years old.
Yeah, it was interesting because, like, my parents had just brought home my baby sister from the hospital, and they showed her to me. And the first thing that I said, believe it or not, and keep in mind I'm 1.5, guys, I said to him, take her back, she don't work right, she's broken.
Mm.
That's the first thing that I said I could see inside her. And I knew there was something wrong. I just really couldn't communicate. I was too little to understand exactly what I was seeing, but I knew that there was something wrong. And at first my parents were like, well, you know, she's jealous. You know, when the new baby comes, you're not the baby anymore. That's kind of what they thought. Then 2 weeks later, they had to rush her to the hospital. She was diagnosed with Hirschsprung's disease and needed an emergency colostomy. And
oh, my God.
They were like, holy cow. And so after she had the surgery and everything, my mom, like, I guess, sat me down and everything and said, how did you know? Like, why did you say she was broken? And, of course, and I'm 1.5. Like, she looked all yucky and brown in the tummy. So I could tell, like, how she looked to me, if there was something really wrong. And I said to her, but it's okay now. She's fixed. We can keep her.
So your mom recognized your ability. Did she help you with that ability through your life? Did she kind of nurse it along? Do anything to encourage a learning coming with that?
It's strange because what she did was okay. Like, she actually sheltered me. I had a really, really sheltered childhood because of it. She didn't discourage me, but she didn't do anything to encourage it. She just preferred I didn't speak of it to anybody. And
there are a lot of empathic people that have a similar story. That's why I ask, you know, because there's a lot of history of people who are empaths when their parents ended up bringing them to psychiatrists, psychologists, whatever, because they say they're seeing this dead person, they see this, they see that, or they have this intuition. But an intuition is kind of like, hey, I feel like this is going to happen. And then when it happens, you have to take notice. Maybe once or twice you can leave it up to coincidence. And I don't believe in coincidence, really. You know, I mean, maybe at the odd chance. But I think that things happen specifically because they happen specifically. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
And then a lot of empaths have that story of their horrible childhood. Like, oh, my God, they thought I was crazy and, you know, I had to keep it inside. They ended up keeping it inside themselves because they realized they can't expose themselves to that kind of world. I think now, in this 2016 today, people are much more apt to understand somebody with your abilities and talents that you're born with, you know, and then make it more plausible in their minds where they're not so shut off, you know, I mean, and then you have lots and lots and lots of TV shows like the Long Island Medium and stuff like that. You know, I don't watch those shows, me personally, which is kind of funny. I don't watch TV, you know what I mean? Like the Walking Dead, I think, is my only thing, and that's only half the year. So the rest of the time, I'm actually doing stuff that's fun, you know, and flipping channels or whatever. But you know, I don't disrespect the people that do those shows. I think that they're important because they bring an awareness, right? They bring an awareness. So
yeah,
you also.
Definitely.
You were also struck by lightning at one point a little while back, right?
Yeah, that was pretty recent. That was actually back in 2012. And with that, there's a lot in between. But with that experience, what happened is this. I was actually driving my son to school, and I live in Arizona, and we have the monsoon season here. And with that, there's a lot of lightning, rain, thunder, of course, and dust storms, and flash flooding. They'll just happen, like in a moment. And that's exactly what happened on the way to school. And then we had to stop at the grocery store. And as soon as I got out of my SUV and we were starting to walk into the store, I had a vision of lightning. I was seeing a vision of lightning. And I told my son, hurry up, lightning's coming, let's get in the store quick. And so We did our shopping and everything was okay. Then as I was starting to walk to the car, I actually saw a vision of him being hit by lightning. And so I screamed to my son, run. And he turned and looked at me like, what? Because I don't usually yell. And so for me to yell, he was kind of in disbelief staring at me. And I just screamed like at the top of my lungs, Matthew, run. And he let go of the shopping cart and started to take off running. And I could feel it. I could feel the energy of the lightning coming towards us. And I knew he wasn't going to get out of the way quick enough. So I lunged forward and pushed him out of the way. And I could see the blinding light coming down and just missing his sneakers, the heels of his sneakers. He just got out of the way. And that's when I realized, oh, shit, I'm standing right where he was. And that's when it hit me, right in the back of my neck, because I was leaning forward to push him out of the way. And that's when I got hit. Yeah.
You know how weird it is to get struck by lightning in Arizona? You know, because it's like when you tell someone, like, hey, I got struck by lightning in Florida, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, of course. You know what I mean? But like Arizona, because people don't think about those monsoons and how intense they are and how intense that lightning is, you know? People don't think about that stuff. But thank God you lived, you know, you went through your recovery process, I assume. And how long did that take?
Well, what happened was this. When I got hit by lightning at first, I just uncontrollably started shaking. Then it was like this horrible metallic taste in your mouth. Oh, it was shaky. Then I could literally, it felt like someone took like a switch and just turned me off. I could feel like my insides were shutting down. My organs were stopping. And what happened is I started to feel like I was starting to fall. Like I couldn't catch my breath anymore. I knew, like in that very moment, I thought, this is it. I'm done. And right at that moment, something amazing happened. And I was feeling so cold. And like I said, I couldn't breathe. Then all of a sudden, I started to fall. And that's when I felt arms around me. And I felt like I was being embraced. I was being hugged. And then all of a sudden, like, I could catch my breath. And I was starting to warm up. And I was like, whoa, what's happening? What's happening? I couldn't figure it out. It was just blinding light yet again. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And that's when I look up. And I see this amazing, amazing, beautiful face. And I saw Archangel Gabriel. And that was literally when he said to me, you still have more work to do. And he's like, I'm going to heal you right now. You're here for a while. There's more for you to do. And I was literally saved and brought back to life in that moment. And it's not the first time I've had so many experiences where, you know, angels have intervened or light being, whatever you want to call them, intervened and saved me. I've altogether, this is like the 14th near-death experience that I've had. So
14?
And like what? Like, what you don't know about me is, like, yes, you know that I'm a psychic medium and a healer, radio host, but what you don't know is that on my mom's side of the family, the bloodline goes back many, many, many generations of psychic witches. On my dad's side, we're actually related to both President John Quincy and, of course, his dad, President John Adams, so we have a really interesting bloodline. But on both my maternal and paternal grandmothers were very, very psychic. So I was born with these amazing, amazing abilities. Then you throw into the mix near-death experiences. The first one I had was at age 9. And going on since then, the last one was the lightning. And anytime that there's someone that has psychic abilities or is a medium, they're pretty amazing and powerful. And I've come, and the ones that I've come in contact with, when they've had near-death experiences, they get very, very strong, and it's really profound in their abilities. Then take all that, and you throw lightning into the mix. That was like, you know, I was already pretty good, and like I hate to sound conceited, but like I was pretty kick-ass already. And to go and to take that and then get hit by lightning, and it kind of supercharged things, and it made it really, really kind of scary, actually, at first. And although, like, my body was healed and I was brought back, I wasn't okay because I couldn't control me for the first time ever. I was able to, prior to that, turn my abilities off and on at will. With the lightning, after that, like, I had visions for 3 days straight. I thought I was going to die just from seeing the nonstop visions. It was incredible.
Wow. You know why? Because it really puts it's energy, number one. Number two, it really puts you in that world, that dimension, kind of like, you know, I mean, because I do paranormal investigations, and when we go into a place, I feel like I describe it as we build a bridge, and I think that's the easiest way to describe it. We just build a bridge, and then that's when things happen. That's when people come through. You know, that's when we start getting results. That's when we start talking and having a conversation. And then you're already in that, from your near-death experiences, you're already in that zone. And it's a familiar zone. And then another bolt of lightning, but you saved your son. You know what I mean? Because who knows what would have happened to him. Maybe he wouldn't have had the same experience. Maybe he wouldn't have been walking and talking anymore. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, all this stuff happened for a reason. But I mean, that's amazing. And then now you're helping people with your talents and abilities still. So that's a lot more important than a lot of things I can think of in this world. Because we need it. We need it. We need it. You see what's going on. You can look around. You see how divided people are and the energy out there. I feel it. I feel it, and I got to, like shut it down, shut it off. And it's such a hard thing to do when you're feeling these vibes. You know, and they're just hitting you and hitting you and hitting and hitting you, you know. And it's hardcore. It's hardcore, you know. And then, you know Robbie Thomas?
No.
Is a medium. He wrote a lot of books, and he helps the police find bodies, and really very down-to-earth, great guy, and he isn't charged for what he does. He's out there helping people all the time, you know what I mean? And he said you just have to not think of that and then kind of go into a different direction. But think about it. When you're an empath, you're kind of a sponge, you know? And you
Trust me, start sucking up energy.
Yeah, I mean, the people around you, like in Arizona, like, what are people saying about anything? I mean, it's just about, I see people are so divided right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's exactly what is meant to happen. That's exactly why these things are occurring. Everything that's going on in the world is meant to divide us. And the one thing that I can see that is going to actually work is the powers that be have basically planned for every single option, every outcome. They planned plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D. The one thing that they didn't count on is plan E, which is everyone coming together as one. That's the only way I see things working. We have to come together, and we have to stop being divided. And I believe that a lot of things that are happening currently in the world, like with the elections, I believe that's totally done as a distraction to divide the people. Look at how many people are at each other's throats over an election. People are unfriending people on Facebook, and they're no longer talking to their family member, and it's crazy, but it's literally dividing people.
I have formed opinions about people because of this, and, you know, not even people like in my little Facebook family or people around the way, just like, and then, of course, high school friends or whatever, they can say whatever stupid thing they want to say, just because they love them, you know, it's kind of like, you got the right to your opinion no matter how stupid it is, you know, that's fine, but I mean, yeah, the energy out there, and then there's just a lot of stoking of the fire, and I question the whole thing, you know, because it's just, none of it needs to be, none of it needs, it's almost like it's a weird movie, The Matrix, and some virus got into the computer program, you know, because all of it's so surreal, and all the stuff, the rules of the golden rule, no one's paying attention to that anymore, and they've moved on. So, I mean, you got to be feeling this anxiety like I am. Probably more so, that's for sure. The agitation is a better word for it. Agitated.
Definitely, you know, because we're metaphysical beings, that every action that we make or every event that we're exposed to is energetic, and because it's an exchange of energy, that's exactly what we're facing. Because whenever we have like a thought, our energy attaches to the thought. It breathes life essence into the thought. It's born or created into existence in that moment. And our perception on how we believe the thought to be is the way that it actually, we create it to be with our energy once we attach it to it. So when we're being shown these events happening in the world, we automatically, with our perception, attach whether it's positive or a negative occurrence. And so we kind of create or add to the negativity without even meaning to at times.
I'll tell you a story that I don't think I've told too many people in my life. About 2 weeks before 9/11, I was cruising down Fifth Avenue, and I was headed south, right? I was getting past, I don't know, I was on Fifth, I was going past museums and all that in Central Park. I'm cruising, and I'm just I was actually videotaping. I had a Hi-8 camera a long time ago, you know? We had Hi-8 cameras back then. So I'm like videotaping, you know, screwing around, and then I was actually heading out to Long Island. I was just cutting through the city to cut through, and I just like felt I couldn't breathe. Like I started, like I really felt, my whole body felt weird. And the further south I went, the more I felt like I was on fire and I couldn't breathe. Like I even pulled over for a second. I was like, what the hell's wrong with me, you know? Like I'm having some kind of episode, some kind of weird thing. And then I just knew I had to get out of there. That's all I felt. I gotta get out of here. And then as soon as I went through the tunnel, I was out to Long Island. I felt much better. But it stands out in your mind that energy. The energy happens before, during, and after an event, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because things are layered in time, and this is why psychics have a good head for what's going to come. This is why people have those premonitions of what's going to come, like it's already happened and happened and happened again, you know? So the important thing is to understand those feelings. And I think that most people have them. You know, I think probably everybody's sensitive on some level, even if they don't want to be, you know. But what's your advice for people to protect themselves against evil? How's that?
Against evil? Well,
evil.
Okay. Well, I'm a big believer that nothing can harm you unless you first of all allow it to. You have to give it consent for it to actually occur.
And except like a bullet. Like
well,
a bullet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talking about evil. Now it's a bullet. It's an evil bullet.
There's some evil bullets out there. I'm from the city,
right.
Man. A bullet doesn't ask you permission. It just does what it wants to do. So, but we're talking about that kind of energy from. But what about like voodoo? And I've heard it pronounced voodoo. What about that? What about people who put that intent and harm and that just black magic and real heavy and they're hammering away? What about that?
Well, there are things that you can do to protect yourself. One of the things mm-hmm. that I would recommend is literally protect yourself with a white light of protection completely surrounding your body and see that you're doing that before you go anywhere. Protect your car if you're afraid that someone's, you know, going to be using that or has ill intent on you. It's just really, really about being proactive and just being aware of your surroundings and stuff, really, especially as far as the evil bullets go. But just put that white light around yourself and nothing can get through it. And if you're really, really, you know, there's been a situation, a time or two, where I felt like something was being done against me. And what I like to do is put the white light of protection around me and put a mirror facing outward. Let them get their own energy back. Send it back to them.
That's what I tell people, man.
Yeah.
When people are throwing negativity at me, I turn into a mirror. That's how I feel. Like just in my mind, I feel like I turn into a mirror, and I just want to give it back. You know, whatever they're putting out at me, they can look at their own ugly face and absorb it. You know what I mean?
No, but that's really good.
Yeah, and the white light, too. You know, the whole white light, imagine it go through everything. I mean, inside of you, outside of you, wrapping around you, you know, And I do that. I do this frequently because, you know, we go into a lot of heavy places. We go into a lot of places like where serial killers killed people and whatever. These places are real, really, 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 really heavy. And you don't want to take stuff home with you. So,
you know, I would, if it was me, I actually would sage myself. Sage you.
You what?
From head to toe. Get some sage and sage yourself as well as doing the protection. If you're ever feeling like it's not enough, the sage will help as well clear the energy from whatever environment you're in.
You know what? I've grown beyond that. I've grown beyond using a lot of tools. I think it's more the belief behind it than the tool itself, because the level of that we're trying to penetrate, that level of vibration is much different, I think, than this physical world is different from that world. And I study a lot of things. I'm really into quantum physics, and I read. I spend a good part of my time getting into that kind of stuff. Anyway, you know, it's amazing science, because in that science you can explain dimensional energy and you can explain these worlds of our energy and what they switch over and where they came from and where they are now and where they're going. You know what I mean? So, I had one video where I had holy water. I'm running around throwing holy water. And I'm thinking, like, you know what? I don't know who blessed that stuff. And, you know, if God's with me, and I, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I don't know who blessed it or how pure their heart was. And just because they have a piece of paper that says that there's some kind of reverend that's supposed to mean something, you know, I became a reverend myself in the New Life Church. And all I did was sign up and give them my name, and bang, I'm a reverend. So, I mean, but that's how simple it is. And in that simplicity, yeah, if you're spiritually drawn to something, by all means. But religious order and the man-made religious orderness of it all, that doesn't jive in my brain, you know? I think that they do more to hurt people spiritually than they do to help people spiritually, you know? And I think that some people are spiritual people like you, you're drawn to help people, you know, and you don't have to create a religion behind it. You just have to have a good heart, right?
Definitely. And you're right, you know, and I am. I'm here just to improve the lives of others. And like I like to say, not here to prove shit to anyone, just here to improve their lives.
Right, exactly. And then that's all of us. And I think that we need to do good works. And that's my message to people almost on every show. You know, just do good works. Go out there and help your fellow man, you know, and leave the judgment behind. Just do good works. Don't open yourself up to evil either, because there's a lot of it out there. And, you know, you're seeing this world. Oh, my God, man. Every minute that I look at the news, there's just another barrage of this negativity. And it's so, I mean, for your average person out there living their lives, working 9 to 5, doing their thing, they're suffering because they're being bombarded with this negativity. And I'm like, shut it off, you know, shut it off. I mean, get as far away from that as possible. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And that's the thing, it's really hard because I believe that this energy and these things are being done to us, and a lot of times it'll happen through those closest to us. And I believe that they will, the distractions will cause, you know, senseless drama. And literally, it just distracts you from what you're doing. And I'm not sure if you've run into that being, you know, a radio host as well and a TV show host and stuff, doing everything that you're doing. But I've had so many times where people try to stop me from doing shows. You know, we've had the computers getting hacked and issues with our streams where we couldn't air the shows on when there's a particular topic. There's been so much interference along the way and things like that. And it's just, I believe, senseless drama. And like, we just have to keep persevering and not allowing anyone or anything to stop us from our goal. And, you know, it's about the bigger picture. It's not about me. I'm irrelevant, and I'm just, you know, a piece of the puzzle. And that's how I like to look at it.
You know what I feel like with me? It's more like the people that come across my path. And then, you know, some of them are really toxic. And I enjoy helping people. You know, it's kind of just built into my programming, you know. And I'm even nice to my enemies, which is, it's kind of a mafia thing. You know, keep your enemies close type of thing. They think I'm just being nice, but I'm being mafioso when it's, yeah, come on over here, hang out, have this plate of spaghetti. Hey, how you doing? You know? Type of thing. But no, really, the people that cross my path, sometimes I'll get dragged down to a hole and then have to get yourself out of that hole. And it literally stops you from other stuff that you're doing. It's a distraction beyond words, you know. And then I've learned to try to stay away from that type of toxicity. And then I'm just learning, like everybody else in this world, you know, learning about how to cope, I guess. And then helping other people cope at the same time, which is, you know, yeah, one of the reasons why I want to start doing the show. It was a thing where I wanted to bring the reality to the paranormal world instead of all the people out there that, there's a lot of freaks, you know, and then the freaks give us a bad name. Yeah, fakes, liars, freaks. There's a lot of them, and I shake my head when I see that stuff, because I'm like, you know what, it's just, it's hoopla, and it's not, it's just a circus. It's not the real paranormal world. And the paranormal world is not something to be afraid of. It's something that we are. We're in it right now, you know, and we're going to go and transition to another level again and then again and again and again, you know. And then look at people in their past lives and all that. We talked about that on the phone earlier about a couple of days ago, past lives.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, we touched on that a bit. And it's just these... so many amazing stories that they're not lies, they're people telling the truth. And, you know, the University of Virginia, their medical college, has a whole section dedicated to people's past lives, you know, and then the stories that they traced and just the proof and more proof and more evidence. So anybody out there that doubts that, they just don't get it, you know.
No, they don't get it. I've had like this one life, and I'll share a little bit of this one with you. I've had many, many past lives, and with each near-death experience, I remembered more and more of them. And this one that's so profound to me is from a life in Ireland. And it was just this amazing cottage that I lived in, and it was overlooking like this mountain and a cliff that overlooked the ocean, and it was just so beautiful and the most amazing scenery I've ever seen. And like, I had this profound love in that life, and I have all these memories of it. I have memories of this village that we shopped in, and I have memories of how I died in that life. And there was a fire that actually happened in this cottage that I lived in. And that was exactly how I died. And back in 2014, I actually went to Ireland and found that cottage that I lived in. And it was amazing because even just being there on the land, I had more and more memories. And I was there with some hosts from the radio station in England that I started the Wendy Adams Show. That show started out of Manchester, England. And so I was with a couple of the hosts from that station, and one of the hosts, Rob Freeman, had a guitar, and he played guitar. And I said, let me see that, because I kept hearing the song in my head. Now, I've never touched a guitar in my life. I don't play the guitar, but I played his that day, and I played the song, exactly what I heard from that time. And sometime I'll share it with you. I made a recording of it, and it was amazing because that really, those things, those events happen, and we can recall them. And I totally do validate the people out there that are saying that and proving it and stuff, because I've lived it myself.
You know what? Look at the people that just have all those amazing stories, and then you have these children who are born that are prodigies, and they sit in front of a piano and they play like a master, you know? Or they grab a violin and they play like a master, and they're drawn to these things. There's no explanation for that. You can't say, well, yeah, they got kicked in the head by a mule and bang, they had these abilities, you know. You know, these are things that we carry over. And a lot of people carry a lot of stuff over. And then, you know, I had Dick Sutphin on the show a little while back, and he does a past life regression and that type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Going into people's, you know, past lives, basically, and then kind of pointing out the problems that we may have now, you know, might attribute to things that happened in our past lives, you know. And I believe that, because people can carry stuff over very easily.
Definitely, we do. And it's just a question of, like, this is how I see it. And we are metaphysical beings, we're energy, and we're born into these bodies, and it's just a body that we occupy until this body expires, and we carry on and we go back. And we don't ever end. We really don't. And I've had so many encounters with spirits, ghosts, beings, whatever you want to call them. And the one thing that they've all communicated to me is that we're here to have this experience of life. And then we return back. We go full circle. And that there's no need for anybody out there suffering over the loss of a loved one, because you never lose your loved one, because love is infinite. Love is not an emotion. It's actually energy. It's life essence that connects us from our heart center to and through our soul, which is where our higher self is. That's where we access us, our collective consciousness, which is our subconscious, our unconscious minds, and our conscious mind simultaneously taking us to our higher self. And that's where this infinite wisdom and infinite love, we don't ever end. Like, love is infinite. And there's so many people that I've seen doing radio shows that are so suffering over grief. And I want to reach those people with my voice and heal them and say, look, you know, I know how bad it hurts because we're here in the physical. And the pain is immense. And I'm not saying that you're not experiencing a loss. It's just that the only thing that you truly have lost is that person's physical body. That person, your relationship just goes from physical to a metaphysical relationship.
I got a couple of them now, and it's heavy, man. You know, this one woman lost her son. He was 21, and she's desperate to talk to him. She's asking me, what can I do? What kind of electronics can I buy? And I want to do these EVPs. And I try to explain. I'm like, well, it's not an exact science either. You know, people just don't come through because you want them to come through, you know, and I'm like, you know, it's not like you're going to have a conversation either, even if you get some kind of evidence. But she's just so desperate. You know, what can you do for someone? And you want to tell them, well, hey, you know, they crossed over, and, you know, you have to be able to let them go so they can go and do what they've got to do, and they will come back, and you'll know when they're around. You can say all that stuff, but people miss the void of what's next to them. And I have another friend, her husband died about 6 months ago, and, you know, he was 51 years old, died from complications of type 1 diabetes. That's a huge void. I mean, it's monstrous. She had just gotten back together, and they got married. You know, they're married for about a year and a half. So, and they're lifelong love because they dated when they were young. And now she's going through this horrible, horrible void of just him not being there anymore. You know, not being next to her on the holidays.
Yeah, that's the one thing is that, you know, for those people, and if you want me to, for you, I can set up a time to help them if you'd like me to, because I can connect them. But the one thing that I can say is that I realize that you're feeling that void and that you're really hurting, and I'm not saying that your pain isn't real. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is that they are still there. To talk to them. Communicate with them. They can hear you. 9 times out of 10, when I walk into a room, everybody has an entourage of people, that loved ones, that I see behind them. I see them just as plain as day as if they were physically living, is how I see them. I can communicate with them in that way as well. And they're here. And 9 times out of 10, when you're sitting here saying, oh, I can't live without you, you're not here. They're sitting here saying, I'm right here. Talk to me. Talk to me. And a lot of times just acknowledging that they are there and communicate with them. You might think that sounds crazy. I don't, because I know. I absolutely 100% know they're there. They don't leave us. We stay connected because we're connected through the heart, through love.
I had Andy's wife, Diana, on the show. Believe it or not, because she was up to talking about the loss. She had been through a few classes, and she already talked to a medium on Long Island, and she was feeling, you know, she knew that he was around, like initially, and then he wasn't around. So she came on the show, and we talked about it, and we talked about just coping with the loss, and that was a show that I really wanted to do, was just talking the whole show, coping with the loss, you know, and
right.
just try to live with it. You know, and understand that they're there, you know, and I guess those are just words sometimes to people that are grieving, and it's so heavy, you know. But yeah. She came on the show, and, you know, after the show that night, she had an experience, and then he was there, you know, and she felt him around. She knew he was all around her, you know what I mean? And I said, we talked him up. We talked him up with bacon, and it sounds funny because the guy was a freak for bacon, you know. So, I mean, when you want to, I tell people, when you want to contact someone, you have to hit words or things that mean something to them that's going to ignite some kind of action, you know. So when we're walking around these old buildings, you know, looking for people that are there, and they died over 150 years ago or whatever, I like the history, and I like to throw dates out there. I like to throw names out there. I like to throw things that they're going to find familiar to connect with, and then we always connect, you know. But when it comes to losing someone, it's hard, man. It's hard, you know. It's just this. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. Like, it is really, really hard. It's the one thing that I've seen over decades of readings for people is that it's the hardest thing ever for people to get through, because you don't ever get through it. It's endless, and it's because love is infinite. So is the pain associated with the loss of it, or the perceived loss of it, because we perceive it to be a loss, and that's what hurts so deeply. And what I can say, and I keep hearing music, so one of those two that you mentioned has a love for music, because I just keep getting the song being sent to me. Sorry.
You know what? It was Andy, and he was a drummer in the band.
It's like in my ear, and I'm like, oh, stop for a second so I can finish my sentence. So I'm sorry, Mike. that happens a lot. It's just music. And he's like, okay, Wendy, could you just tell her I'm here? Like, can you not hear me? And I'm like, gosh, damn it, yes, I hear you. Stop. Sorry. I shouldn't be swearing. But it's just kind of frustrating when I'm hearing that in my ear. So he's playing music right now for me. So whoever she is, he hasn't told me your name. I just keep hearing this music, and it's loud. It's loud. He's here, and I love you is what I'm getting. So pass that on if you could. If she's listening or not, could you?
You know what? He used to play hardcore, you know, like hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
You know? like
I'm all for that stuff, but it's hard to talk and think. It's just pounding in my head. But yeah, he's here.
Yeah, I've known him since the '80s, you know, so I mean he was a drummer and we were in the same circles with some mutual friends and in the same circles. His death was just such a total shock. I just, you know what, 51 years old, you don't expect people to just go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'll definitely connect you to, and I appreciate it. She's you know, she's getting better because she has a support group and she's getting better, and she's also friends with his friends, you know, and other people in his life, and which, you know, there's a lot of people love the guy, you know.
He had a lot of friends.
Band.
Huge group.
Yeah, great father, great man, you know, all around, gentle, kind, really caring, you know. So the world needs more people like that, not less. That's for sure. But what can you do? You just have to understand that energy's there and go forward, you know.
Speaking
of energy, you know what? There's something I want to talk to you, actually, real quick. There's a story in the news about a UFO investigator. I don't know if you get into those stories.
I've seen a flash.
I want to ask you.
You talked about the one where something about black. I'm seeing, hold on, black. Like, he was sick or something, and it was black?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
His name is Max Spears, 39 years old, healthy guy. You know, nothing wrong with him. He was a UFO investigator and a conspiracy theorist. And then he had gotten into something. He got to send his mom a text saying that, you know, the old boy is in trouble, you know, if you don't hear from me, investigate type of thing. And then bang, he was dead a short time later. So then people said that he was puking up black liquid, you know, and that type of thing.
He did.
But right now, this actually happened a couple months ago, I think. Ultimately, he died. But I mean, it's just coming out. She just got his body back, and they did a postmortem, and she hasn't found out what's going on. But now they're saying it was exorcism or Satanist, and they got the sacrifice and whatever, you know, vomiting black liquid. Now, and they say, well, it's the government, you know, like it's the men in black, and then you know they come and get you and that type of thing. And I'm not going to say that the government doesn't kill people. Governments, because we know that they do, you know. I'm going to say when the government kills somebody, they disappear, you know, or it looks like an accident, or it looks like a suicide, you know, especially with a dude like that. You can say, oh, yeah, he blew his own brains out, and bye-bye, ha-ha. You know, it's not like, oh, I poisoned him over a long time, but I'm going to ask you this. In my experience, and this sounds crazy to a lot of people maybe, puking up black liquid is a demonic type of trait, because I know people that have done exorcisms and this is what they've witnessed, and I know people that had those things taken out of them, and then when they did, they fell down, they puked up this black liquid. You have any experience with that? What are you feeling about that anyway?
There definitely was and the demonic associated to this. He was actually really onto something really big, actually. And there was also, they didn't want that information put out there as well. So I do feel like that there was definitely interference. I do feel like he was taken out, however you want to word it. He was silenced. But there was definitely a connection to demonic energy. You could see it around him. You could see it in him. Now it's no longer in him, and he's gone. Unfortunately.
But what about Alien? I mean, like, because he was really mainly a guy who investigated this alien stuff. And that gets dicey. You know, the government, any government around the world, they keep things closely guarded, you know. So it gets dicey. Obviously, they have stuff to hide since they hide it, you know. But this is just, like, interesting. The guy's 39 years old and in good health. And so another thing that's interesting is that the people in the paranormal community don't know who he is. You know, it's like I was talking with Joe before, and he's really big, you know, he has shows that are around, surround that type of stuff. Nobody's really heard of this guy. And every once in a while, sometimes you find people kind of fall into the main fray. that scare people from doing things. You know, you get a chilling effect. So I don't know. I find it very interesting. I was just curious what you were feeling about the whole situation.
Well, I mean, what I can see is that he was very, very, very concerned. He was afraid for his life. I see that he was very, very feeling like he was followed. A lot of feelings of paranoia. I'm getting that. There were two men that were really, really watching the situation closely, because he actually uncovered by accident, like he kind of just stumbled upon this evidence, and he actually had evidence of something that he was going to bring forth, really, really important discovery, and like they were not going to let that happen. And so like I do feel like there was like a lot of negative energy around him and stuff like that, but I definitely get interference was the cause of it. Like he was silenced.
So he was silenced, though, right? One way, anyway, you know, because he's out there. The whole thing just sounds, as an investigator, the whole thing sounds crooked, you know?
Yeah.
Things usually link up. And this happened, like, a couple months ago, you know, when I read the headline at the beginning of the articles. I would say, hey, you know, all this is going on. And then when you listen to the guy's mom talk, she said, well, you know, he's been dead for a couple of months, you know. Well, I mean, she had a post-mortem done when the body was shipped back, which was some time after, so it was even more than a couple of months. I just find it interesting that when stuff like this happens, it just makes you think about what's out there, really, and what people don't want you to hear. Because what would be the worst thing if aliens came? You know, people found out there's aliens. You know, I mean, we deal with how many species of life. Think about it. How many species of life is on this planet? How many different species of things? You know, I got stink bugs flying around like crazy, drive me nuts, man. You know what I mean? And they're little prehistoric looking stink bugs. Think about cats, dogs, giraffes. You know, all kinds of people. There's so obviously there's levels and levels and levels of species of life. You know, and humans is not the last level of that species of life. And some of the animals out there make us look retarded. You know what I mean? Make us look like we're, you know, we're not as advanced as they are. So
yeah, well, even as humans, it's been proven that like 90-something percent of our DNA is alien. So, I mean, that's proof right there.
There's a lot of people that talk about that rhesus negative and how it came into our blood supply 35,000 years ago, and all scientists, mm-hmm. all of them, every last one of them, the ones who believe and don't believe in all that stuff, all say it came from somewhere else. You know,
yeah.
It's not just some mutation. It couldn't have happened. It came from somewhere else. So, you know what? We're going to have to end the show. We're taking it up. You want to do a quick election type of thing for a minute, or no? You're not into it. I don't want to put
so
you on
big.
The spot. I want to ask you who's going to win, that's all.
None of them should be in office, that's all I'm going to say. None.
Well, I know that. That's what I say all the time. All right, Wendy Adams, people can listen to your show on lightwavesradio.com, your shows on lightwavesradio.com. They can go there and they'll find the times, right? And then you'll be talking about anything and everything and everything and anything. And I'm going to be on your show on Monday, I guess. So we'll talk more about more and about more. This way you interview me next time. So
sounds good. I can have some fun. Payback.
All right. So say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. And I will see you guys next week on this here show on UPRN, UnitedPublicRadioNetwork.com, 107.7 in New Orleans. Good night.